meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
TGIF, loyal listeners, and as we wait for Father, we join the other two members here.
Yeah. Christina, Tony, how are you?
It's Friday.
Yeah, it's finally the end of the week here, and everything's going all right.
Yes, we survived.
Good
the
times.
Heat. Heat was on.
I couldn't believe it. The heat is on yesterday.
It was 120 index heat.
Wow.
It wasn't in the shade, so we'll see what happens there.
But a total difference today. It's in the
absolutely,
70s.
Absolutely, yeah.
We could breathe now.
My dad said it was much cooler outside, but, you know, when I went out there, it's kind of feels like how it does after a thunderstorm, you know, with how it feels after that.
Oh, here's Father.
Ah, there
made
we
it.
Go.
Ladies and gentlemen.
We were just giving the weather report, Father.
When the
when
the cat's away, the mice will play.
Oh, it's been another one of those days, you know. It's just, oh, my gosh. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome, Father.
We were afraid.
You
just
made
a little bit.
Adjusted here, so.
But again, we can't complain because other states have had it bad with the heat.
Otherwise.
Well, it's not the heat. It's actually nice outside
it's
right
not,
now.
It's not? No, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But again, this is Chicago, so.
No, we had,
this is what you expect.
This is a parish, you know. You're
parish life, yeah.
Parish life.
The ER, we used to call it.
Emergency room. The emergency room or like an intensive care unit some days. And today's been one of those days, so it's... Anyway, you have to go with the flow, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Flexible. Those are the days, Father.
Let's pray so that I can calm down a little bit and get into... Today's a feast of St. Louis. I like to read his letter to his son.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
And Monday is a feast of St. Monica. I want to go back to Bishop Strickland. I'd like to do that again.
Yeah, that was. I was listening yesterday, Father.
Yeah.
That was really.
Really nice, huh?
Yes. My mom was listening, and she said, "Hey, I miss Tony. He didn't say a word yesterday.
He didn't say a word.
He wasn't there, Mom."
Yeah.
I love Christina's here now, so I could not get you excited, worried. I just okay.
Well, as long as somebody is here.
Yeah,
you know,
that's.
I know we've got. And I value more than Tony and Christina, those who are listening out there in Radio Land, right? Value them more.
Yeah.
But it's good to have
somebody here.
Two faces here.
Yes.
Yeah. But I equally value everybody.
No, we did miss you, Tony.
Yeah. So, I missed all of you.
All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. And with this, again, as I mentioned yesterday, I'm asking the Blessed Virgin Mary, and I'm asking all of you to intercede on behalf of those young people who really are up against the world and are in going through a time of unprecedented confusion and chaos and a lot of despair, a lot of desolation. We know that there's a high rate of suicide among young people. They're just they're victims of the world in which we're living right now. Again, use that quote, what most characterizes this time in which we're living, it's a tyranny of noise. Certainly Our Lady, when she asked that we open the door, she said that the cacophony, the rude noise of the world, not shout into silence the voice of the living God. It's imperative that we try to get young people who otherwise cannot, because of the cost, get into the Catholic school, that we can get them into the Catholic school so that we can at least provide them a formation, plant the seeds, and hope and pray that in due season those seeds bear fruit for the greater glory of God, for their salvation, their sanctification. We really need to be proactive in trying to get these kids out of the public school and into solid Catholic schools where the deposit of faith, the dogmas, the doctrines, the sacred scripture, prayer, where God is the center and the foundation, so that they might come to know, to love, and to serve the the Lord, even as they find themselves in a environment that is healthy and safe and also holy. So we pray for students, young people. We ask Our Lady to intercede, make it possible, open the doors for these young people and for their teachers and the principals and all those involved in the education of our youth, that they be inculcated with the faith of the Church. And so we ask, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Louis, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right. Yeah, today's a feast of St. Louis. Should I begin with that? Or let me finish up with Bishop Strickland. You know, we started that yesterday, but I didn't get to the point that he was making. I think there were 7 points, 7 or 10. And you can hear it in my voice. I'm really tired. I've just been going nonstop all morning. It's just been a lot of stuff, a lot of things going on right now. We just never know. We had Mass for our children this morning, so it was really nice because I was able to read to them the letter that St. Louis wrote to his son. And but anyway, we'll come back to that. But I want to go back to the pastoral letter from Bishop Strickland issued yesterday. Today's what, the 20? So it was the day before, Wednesday. Or actually, on the Feast of Christ of the Queenship of our the Blessed Virgin Mary, so it was on Tuesday. But let me just go back and read the letter, and then today, and as we couldn't do it yesterday because we didn't have the time. But this is in view of the Synod on Synodality coming up, and it really is a clarion call to Catholics to hold firm to the faith. Hold firm to the faith against, very powerful voices that really want to change, seemingly want to change the whole trajectory of the Church and implement, innovate, bring about revolution that will completely change the face of the Church as it's come down to us. And so, you know, the Church has been through many, many crises through her 2,000-year history, but we are just living in a very tempting time because, you know, we're in an out-of-season time, an inconvenient time. And so it's, Christendom is gone. You know, we live in a radically secularized society, and how do we dialogue with that society? How do we bring into the world Christ and his redeeming power, his sanctifying power, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that there is no other. And that's not to in any way demean anybody who doesn't espouse relationship with Christ. But we have a mandate, that's a gospel mandate, to make Christ known to others, make disciples of all nations, because true freedom, a true joy, an enduring peace, and salvation—the salvation of one's soul—really depends on our relationship to the Lord. And again, those who, through no fault of their own, don't know Him, but live in obedience to the law, the natural law written into their hearts, and are people of goodwill, but through no fault of their own, they don't know God. Or Christ, God who has come to us in the flesh, who has redeemed us, they will come to know, either in time and space and in the here and now of life, or after they pass through, that Jesus is the door, the only door that leads us into the Father, to the Father, and into the kingdom, into His kingdom. So I think it's important that we understand that. Does that make sense when I say that?
No.
You know, but we as Catholics, it's the point is, we're not Jesus Christ is not to be equated with other gods with a little g, or even great prophets, or whatever leaders constitute the other religions of the world. We can't diminish or reduce God, who came to us in the flesh, God who created us, God who redeemed us, God who destines us for life eternal. And you hear that, you know, in a sense, in the words of St. Louis to his son. And so it's you know, I bring this up because the bishop who's going to be made a cardinal in preparation for the World Youth Day, he said, you know, publicly that we're not here to bring people to Christ, the young people to Christ. Well, you know, maybe what's been recorded was taken out of context, but I mean, if we believe in Jesus Christ as God incarnate, God come to us in the flesh, God who created us, God who redeems us, God who has destined us for, you know, that place beyond the beyond where eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor is it so much as dawned on man, what God has prepared for those who love Him. God who gave us the laws, the Ten Commandments, and commanded, they're commandments, they're not suggestions. Moses didn't come off that mountain and say, hey, to the people, the covenant, you know, these are, God is suggesting that you keep these are 10 suggestions that we should follow. No, he said, these are the 10 commandments. These are binding on you, all people, for all time. He says, you know, teach them, love them, fulfill them, obey them, drill them into your children, write them on the doorpost, on your wrist, on your forehead. You know, reflect on these commandments, live them, obey them, fulfill them, love them, and you will prove yourselves to be a wise, intelligent, noble, dignified, graceful people. You'll be the envy of other nations. We don't have the authority. No one has the authority. The church hasn't the authority to rewrite or reinterpret the laws of God. So this is, you know, we're called to a high standard. God is, as he says of himself, he's a demanding God. He's not permissive. And yet, yes, we all know we're sinners. And so he says, you know, he comes not for the healthy, but for the sick, not for the saint, but for the sinner. That means he's, you know, if we're all going to be honest, we're sinners and we're sick. You know, again, we're in a disordered world, but God is a God of order, and he's calling us beyond this disorder to participate in his life so as to contribute to the ordering of the world, a disordered world. So we're going to always be in conflict. It's always going to be a spiritual battle. But we don't, as things have happened, you know, all over, all across the board, we're not going to, I'm not going to dumb down the precepts of the church, or the dogma, the doctrines are necessary because they extrapolate from the richness of sacred scripture and the apostolic tradition. We have an obligation to teach the dogmas and the doctrines of the faith because this is what identifies who we are. Even as we, yes, build bridges for others to come and, you know, have the opportunity to be embraced and to embrace what is life-giving, namely God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who's revealed himself in Jesus Christ. So just what's being propagated, or what's being the agenda, very vocally spoken on the part of many people in very powerful places, is something other than who we are. Again, as I said yesterday, because the, of course, quoting, I believe it's the prophet Isaiah, the tent is wide. We have to widen the tent. Yes, of course, we've got to make room for the universality of the church, the Catholic, you know, from one nation the Messiah comes, and he sends the apostles out to Catholicize, universalize, to widen the tent and bring in people throughout the world. But along with that comes the call to repent, to convert, to a metanoia, a change of heart, to the adoration of God the Creator, God the Redeemer, God the Sanctifier, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to obey the commandments of God. And, yes, to take care of one another, to go to the fringe and to accompany and to build up those who are rejected or marginalized or the poor. And this has always been the church's mission. It's not something new to the church. It's always been. But it doesn't mean that we leave, you know, people. So inclusivity, that's, so to dialogue, yes, to accompany, absolutely. To listen, absolutely. To be inclusive, absolutely, if people choose to include themselves, to become part of this sacred enterprise, which is the mystical body of Christ, the church, which is a sacrament that mediates the grace whereby people can come to enjoy and the gift of salvation, that people come to adore and to give thanks, to offer their lives in supplication for others, and to seek always forgiveness for sins. This is the challenge before us, is to preach the full counsel of God. In other words, not to diminish or to dumb down or to accommodate or appease the world that is becoming increasingly more Christophobic. Or as I think I might have said yesterday on religion, on the radio, many people say, I don't believe in organized religion. So what's the alternative? Disorganized religion? You know, it's our dogmas, our doctrines, the commandments, which is dogma, doctrine of God. This is about organizing or ordering the world, a disordered world. And yes, because it is disordered, and because it is a narrow path, a difficult path, and it is a discipline, and it's hard. Jesus didn't deceive us in that regard. People deviate. You deviate, you get back on. So God's greatest attribute is mercy. Every day is a new day, a new beginning. So I know I'm just kind of, but it makes sense, does it? Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying?
We need to be reminded of this, Father.
So we get reprimanded, yeah, though, mm-hmm, today by... Mm-hmm. The powers to be, or the voices out there that want radical change, to accommodate seemingly a radically secularized society. You're not supposed to speak about Jesus Christ. You're not supposed to call people to repent of their sins. You know, and then we end up just swimming in a sea of egos where everything revolves around the individual. We can't be universalism, you know, purely humanistic, or we can't, again, reduce Jesus to just one among many. That would be religious syncretism. I think that's what they would call it. No, it's we have a mandate. This is a mandate. This is a gospel mandate. Go out to the nations, preach repentance from sin, conversion of life, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is a mandate. This is a command given to the apostles and through them to all of us. So we're going to take a break, as we're 24 minutes into the show, and then I'm going to come back and read the pastoral letter from Bishop Strickland, which I think is a voice that needs to be heard. If we're talking about dialogue, if we're talking about listening, then that voice needs to be listened, and it needs to be heard. And if we're going to be shunned or shamed or marginalized because we because we receive what he has to say, then this is all a farce. This whole synod on synodality is a complete farce. It's gaslighting. This idea of dialogue, listening, accompany, inclusivity. No, open up the open wide the tent to those who are who want to remain Catholic, as in keeping with we think about the Holy Father spoke so beautifully about grandparents, and it was very interesting. I was going to bring this up last week. He did have a beautiful exhortation on grandparents and how they're the bearers of tradition, and the young people need to come close to their grandparents. He says it's a very, very beautiful thing. So I'm not here to diminish or besmirch the Holy Father by no means. I'm just trying to say, you know, that whatever's being communicated out there so often is leaving people very much confused and fearful. And I'm saying this because people come to me with their fear, the confusion as to what is going on. Where are we going? Where are we going? So let's take a break. We'll come back. And Bishop Strickland, his words, I think, will touch our hearts very deeply. Don't go away. We'll be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Do you want your family to be safe? Do you want extra special attention given to your prayers by Jesus? Listen, place yourself under the mantle of your mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Hold her delicate hand and pray the rosary. When we pray the rosary and let the name Mary tenderly spring from our heart and lips, one can envision with certainty our Lord Jesus seated at the right hand of our merciful Father, suddenly leaning forward with captivated, special love and attention to our soul, to our needs, all our prayers and all our intentions. For when we love Jesus' mother, Mary, we have instantly become part of his special inner circle, upon whom he lavishes extraordinary gifts through his Holy Spirit, Mary's spouse. I'm Jim Littleton, forming faithfulfamilies.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change with TNT, TNT, and TNC, Tony, Nick, Tony, and Christina. So this is going back to the letter, but I'm going to be, we've got time now to go through some points that he makes that I didn't get a chance to do yesterday. But this is Bishop Strickland from Tyler, Texas. He says, "My dear daughters, sons and daughters of Christ, may the love of God, may the love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be upon you always. In this time of great turmoil in the church and in the world," and nobody can deny that. Okay, I'm going to make commentary as I go along. Nobody can deny that. So don't shut me up because I'm saying there's great turmoil in the church and in the world. Everybody with a brain knows that there is. "I must speak to you from a father's heart," he says, "in order to warn you of the evils that threaten us and to assure you of the joy and hope that we have always in our Lord Jesus Christ. We got to lean into Christ. When people say, "Well, who do we go to?" We got to lean into Jesus. The evil and false message that has invaded the church, Christ's bride, is that Jesus is only one among many, and that it is not necessary for his message to be shared with all humanity. This idea must be shunned and refuted at every turn. We must share the joyful good news that Jesus is our only Lord, and that he desires that all humanity, get this, all humanity for all time, may embrace eternal life in him. Once we understand that Jesus Christ, God's divine Son, is the fullness of revelation and the fulfillment of the Father's plan of salvation for all humanity for all time, and we embrace this with all our hearts, then we can address the other errors that plague our church and our world, which have been brought about by a departure from truth. And then he quotes St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. He writes, St. Paul, "I am amazed that you are so quickly forsaking the one who called you by grace," meaning Christ, "who called you. For I am amazed that you are so quickly forsaking Christ for a different gospel, not that there is another. But there are some who are disturbing you and wish to pervert the gospel of Christ." And again, people, many people are disturbed. I'm a pastor. I deal with people on a day-to-day basis. I'm not in the rectory twiddling my thumbs. I'm not sitting on the beach. I'm in the rectory, in the church, in the confessional. I have hours and hours of confession. I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back. I'm saying that I listen to the people, and people are terribly, terribly disturbed. And we celebrate Mass every day here, and I just had Mass for the children, knowing that many of them, you know, don't go to Mass on Sunday because their families, you know, 80% of Catholics don't go to Mass. And I'm doing all I can to inculcate, to teach them the faith, hoping that those seeds that we're planting will bear fruit. Who am I speaking to? I'm just saying, because we're getting backlash from so many who want to keep us. You know, it's the cancellation culture we're living in, right?
That's what it is, yeah.
It's a cancellation culture. If you don't, you know, I remember as a seminarian, it was all about dialogue then. And, of course, I took a position, we use the example of women's ordination because that was a big thing. And I took a position in keeping with the dogma, the doctrines of the church. And I think we might have talked about it yesterday, but the whole nuptial and, you know, God created a man and woman. A priest is in persona Christi. He's a man in the person of Christ. The woman, you know, she holds life close to herself. She nurtures that life. Again, I think I said yesterday, what other institution for 2,000 years give me any institution where women have been so prominent in positions of power, in a good sense, building hospitals and building orphanages, building schools, and teaching the children, you know, coming away, leaving their going into foreign lands, going into Africa, into South America, into the Americas, into the United States, from Europe, into the boondocks, out in the prairies, building orphanages and hospitals. I mean, where I go, the Mayo Clinic, that was all started by the Catholic sisters out in the boondocks, at that time out in the boondocks. And it was because of a tornado that caused horrible destruction and the loss of much life that they built this hospital, St. Mary. It was called St. Mary's Hospital, and it eventually became the Mayo Clinic. These were women. So, you know, please put that in your head, that when people say women never have had a place in the church, does that make sense? No other, yeah. There's no other institution. I mean, you go through the whole litany of saints, and how many women are named in the, you know, the heroism, the courage, the humility, the holiness of these women who are doctors of the church.
I'm even thinking of Saint Joan of Arc.
Saint Joan of Arc.
Wow.
Yeah. Mother like, Teresa of Calcutta.
Mother Teresa. Yeah. So it, many.
It's kind of like what anything today. I mean, dare I say, I don't know if this sounds horrible, but I think this is the way it's almost like the woman wants to be seen on the equal as Jesus. And the sad thing about it, if you know the faith, especially our Catholic faith, people don't realize how important our mother is. And she's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
How the church is seen as female.
Is it the Mother Church?
Mother Church.
Mother Church.
I don't know what else.
What do we say? The priest is wedded to Christ. Is wedded to the church. Mm-hmm. In Persona Christi, he is wedded to the bride, the church. A woman religious is wedded to Christ. All of us, by virtue of baptism, myself included, even though I'm a ministerial priest, yes, we're as the members of the mystical body of Christ, we're espoused to Christ, the bridegroom. But the ministerial priest is, in persona Christi, wedded to the church. I have laid down my life for the church, for my bride, the church, and the children and her children, our children. You get that, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But and see, this is the attack on marriage,
mm-hmm.
the attack on family. Fatherhood, motherhood, again, the great crisis in fatherhood, the aversion that people have for patriarchy, you know, a man's rightful place in the life of the family, in the life of the community, in the life of the church, as distinct from that of the woman.
Yeah.
Now, you can go down to history and you can look at all the abuses. That's always going to be the side of death. But again, as I've said many times, you know, Jesus had 12 apostles. So it's just 12 cardinals. One of them betrayed him, sold him out. But Judas Iscariot is not our person of reference.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is our person of reference. And as we look down through history, yes, like Joan of Arc, you mentioned Joan of Arc. She was burned at the stake.
Yeah.
It was the church and the state colluding together to destroy her.
Does that sound familiar?
Absolutely. And she was burned at the stake.
Yeah.
But she's a saint. She's a saint. And so when we look down through history, yeah, we can point to the all those deviants, those who yesterday was the feast of Saint Bartholomew, and Jesus recognized him as a man with no duplicity, no double life. You know, and this is what we need to address. Today, if we want to address something at the Synod on Synodality, let's address the call to holiness of life, and let's give ourselves to Jesus, holding nothing back, and get rid of this duplicity of life, you know. Anyway, it's let me go on with St. Paul in his letter to the Galatians. If I sound like Cardinal George said to me, he says, you know, he's very desperate. You know, he's a very desperate priest. I am, because I love the truth. I love the faith. I love Christ. I love what's been handed down to us. I wrote in a letter just the other day that the only thing I would abhor is to not be a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing, of course, all the bad things, but the focus is on how God so beautifully raises up saints
mm-hmm.
down through history, because we're always a church militant, always in a battle, and we look to the church triumphant, those in heaven. So St. Paul goes on to say, you know, but there are some who are disturbing you and wish to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel other than the one that we preach to you, let that one be accursed. As we have said before, and I now say again, if anyone preaches to you a gospel other than the one that you received, let that one be accursed. Quoting St. Paul in his letter to the Galatians. And so Bishop Strickland goes on to say, he says, as your spiritual father, and as I was telling the children today, you know, I'm reading from St. Louis to his son, as your spiritual father, I feel it is important to reiterate the following basic truths that have always been understood by the church from time immemorial. and to emphasize that the church exists not to redefine matters of faith, but to safeguard the deposit of faith as it has been handed down to us from our Lord himself through the apostles and the saints and martyrs. Again, hearkening back to St. Paul's warning to the Galatians, any attempts to pervert the true gospel message must be categorically rejected as injurious to the bride of Christ and her individual members. And then he gives 7 points. Number one, Christ established one church, the Catholic Church, and therefore only the Catholic Church provides the fullness of Christ's truth and the authentic path to his salvation for all of us. Now, as the document says, Lumen Gentium, that there's truths in all religions, elements of the truth, but it all tends toward full Catholicity. Number two, the Eucharist and all the sacraments are divinely instituted, not developed by man. The Eucharist is truly Christ's body and blood, soul and divinity, and to receive him in communion unworthily in a state of grave, unrepentant sin is a devastating sacrilege for the individual and for the church. Number three, the sacrament of matrimony is instituted by God. Through natural law, God has established marriage as between one man and one woman, faithful to each other for life and open to children. Humanity has no right or true ability to redefine marriage. Number four, every human person is created in the image and likeness of God, male or female, and all people should be helped to discover their true identities as children of God and not supported in a disordered attempt to reject their undeniable biological and God-given identity. As wounded as an individual may be. That's where humility comes in. Humility is the antithesis of pride. Number five, sexual activity outside marriage is always gravely sinful and cannot be condoned, blessed, or deemed permissible by any authority inside the church. But Jesus said again, it's a very narrow path, it's a very difficult path, you can stay on it. It's a discipline. Peter said, how can man be saved? He said, well, for man it's impossible, but for God all things are possible. You know, again, do we want to dumb it all down? It's all too hard, therefore we can't. No, you know, thank God, his greatest attribute is mercy. But we have to humbly acknowledge our weaknesses, our sins, our rough edges, and that we're terribly affected by the world in which we live. Number six, the belief that all men and women will be saved regardless of how they live their lives, a concept commonly referred to as universalism, is false and is dangerous, as it contradicts what Jesus tells us repeatedly in the gospel. Jesus says we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. He has given us the way, through his grace, to victory over sin and death, to repentance and sacramental confession. We should be repenting every day. The Jesus Prayer is the prayer that you learn to pray this unceasingly. Because if we stand before God, we know we're sinners. We stand in his light. We see our darkness, that we don't despair in that, because we glory in the love of God and his light, which will overcome our darkness. And so we humbly say, Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, Jesus Christ, Son of the Living God, have mercy on me, poor sinners. That's how we begin the Mass. That's how we, what we say before we go to communion. Lord, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof, but say only the word, my soul will be healed. You know, as Mother Teresa would say, you go into the confessional a sinner with sin, you leave the confessional a sinner without sin, right? I said, let's go on. It is essential that we embrace the joy and hope as well as the freedom that comes from repentance and humbly confessing our sins. Through repentance and sacramental confession, every battle with temptation and sin can be a small victory that leads us to embrace the great victory that Christ has won for us. And number seven, finally, In order to follow Jesus Christ, we must willingly choose to take up our cross, and instead of attempting to avoid the cross and suffering, to avoid the cross and suffering that our Lord offers to each of us individually in our daily lives, the mystery of redemptive suffering, that is, suffering that our Lord allows us to experience and accept in this world and then offer back to Him in union with His suffering, humbles us, purifies us, draws us deeper into the joy of a life lived in Christ. That is not to say that we must enjoy or seek out suffering, but if we are united to Christ as we experience our daily sufferings, we can find the hope and joy that exist amidst the suffering and perseverance to the end of all our suffering. Because as I say so often, these are the words of Bishop Strickland, but who of us, again, I've asked this question before, but is there anybody out there listening who has ever had a day where you didn't suffer something, some assault to the mind, to the body, the soul, or the spirit? Getting up in the morning, maybe the first suffering of the day, you know, getting out of bed and getting into the work of life. And then you get out of bed and you stub your toe against whatever, you know, the wall. You know, you get the point I'm making. There's always something every day. We can't escape that. Yeah. And when the young people have to understand, you know, we all have to understand, Jesus said, in this world you're going to have trouble, but have courage, be at peace, I've conquered the world. Our Lady said to St. Bernadette, I can't promise you happiness in this life, but only in the next. But our joy is knowing that we're known by God, loved by God, and served by God, and then we want to know Him, love Him, and serve Him. And by the way, suffering, we, as Catholics, we always say, offered up. Yes, because in that we participate in the redemptive work of Christ, who says, the Scripture says, we make up for what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. There's nothing lacking but that He ordained that we would participate in His redemptive work, because people are suffering all the time. And then he concludes, in the weeks and months ahead, many of these truths will be examined as part of the Synod on Synodality. We must hold fast to these truths and be wary of any attempts to present an alternative to the gospel of Jesus Christ or to push for a faith that speaks of dialogue and brotherhood while attempting to remove the fatherhood of God. When we seek to innovate upon what God in His great mercy has given us, we find ourselves upon treacherous ground. The surest footing we can find is to remain firmly upon the perennial teachings of the faith. Regrettably, it may be that some will label as schismatics those who disagree with the changes being proposed. Be assured, however, no one who remains firmly upon the plumb line of our Catholic faith is a schismatic. We must remain unabashedly and truly Catholic, regardless of what may be brought forth. We must be aware also that it is not leaving the Church to stand firm against these proposed changes. We must be aware also that it is not leaving the Church to stand firm against these proposed changes, if some of them are put into effect, such as the blessing of same-sex marriages, or, you know, women in the priesthood, or whatever, you know. As Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Therefore, standing firm does not mean we are seeking to leave the Church. Instead, those who would propose changes to that which cannot be changed seek to commandeer Christ's Church, and they are indeed the true schismatics. I urge you, my sons and daughters in Christ, that now is the time to make sure you stand firmly upon the Catholic faith of the ages. We were created to seek the way, the truth, and the life. And in this modern age of confusion, the true path is the one that is illuminated by the light of Jesus Christ. For truth has a face, and indeed it is His face. Be assured that He will not abandon His bride. I remain your humble father and servant, Most Reverend Bishop Joseph Strickland, Bishop of Tyler, Texas. So that's his commentary. That's his contribution to the dialogue. And he has a right to be heard, and we have a right to share those words. Okay, Nick, should we take a quick break and then come back? Then I'll conclude with the letter. Hopefully I have time. St. Louis to his son, which is really, really beautiful. And it really it goes back to what the bishop here has written. Okay? Don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Pope John Paul II once said, "Humanity, its dignity and its balance, at every moment and on every place on earth, will depend upon who he is for her and who she is for him." I am Father Thomas Loya with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. Why are we a man? Why are we a woman? Unless we know the why, we do not know the how to be man or a woman, and therefore we do not know how to really be for each other. The why behind being a man or woman is told in the theology of our gendered bodies. Our bodies speak a language. Gender reveals God. Through gender, we can actually participate in the way that God loves us. We can love as God loves. Human sexuality is an icon of the very interior life of the Holy Trinity. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change as we wrap up on this Friday, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, but I'm going to really try to quickly go through this. Beautiful words of St. Louis. We do this every year because they're so beautiful. But imagine, you know, your father writing you this letter. But this is really how the church should speak to her children, right?
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis was born in 1214, became king of France when he was 22, believe it or not, so young. He married, became the father of how many children? 11.
Wow.
Wow.
And this is the letter he wrote to his son, who would, obviously this is the son who would succeed him as king. He says, "My dearest son, my first instruction is that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength. Without this, there is no salvation. Keep yourself, my son, from everything that you know displeases God, that is to say, from every mortal sin. You should permit yourself to be tormented by every kind of martyrdom before you would allow yourself to commit a mortal sin. If the Lord has permitted you to have some trial, bear it willingly and with gratitude, considering that it has happened for your good and that perhaps you well deserved it. If the Lord bestows upon you any kind of prosperity, thank him humbly and see that you become no worse for it, either through vain pride or anything else, because you ought not to oppose God or offend him in the matter of his gifts. Listen to the divine office with pleasure and devotion." Would be also listen to the holy to the Mass. "As long as you are in church, be careful not to let your eyes wander and not to speak empty words, but pray to the Lord devoutly, either aloud or with the interior prayer of the heart. Be kind-hearted to the poor, the unfortunate, the afflicted. Give them as much help and consolation as you can. Thank God for all the benefits he has bestowed upon you, that you may be worthy to receive greater. Be just to your subjects, swaying neither to right nor left, but holding the line of justice, meaning truth. Always side with the poor rather than with the rich until you are certain of the truth. See that all your subjects live in justice and peace. Especially those who have ecclesiastical rank and who belong to religious orders. Be devout and obedient to our Mother, the Church of Rome, and the Supreme Pontiff as your spiritual father, so long as he doesn't lead you astray. I'm added, those are my words. We're not subservient. We hold the Pope in filial regard. He is our shepherd. We live in obedience to him, but it's the presupposition certainly is that he is fulfilling his mission as a servant in defense of the truth that's been handed down to us. Work to remove all sin from your land, as particularly blasphemies and heresies. In conclusion, dearest son, I give you every blessing that a loving father can give a son. May the three persons of the Holy Trinity and all the saints protect you from every evil. And may the Lord give you the grace to do his will so that he may be served and honored through you. And I love this. It concludes here. That in the next life, we may together come to see him, love him, and praise him unceasingly. Those are his, that's his final testimony to his sons. Beautiful, isn't it?
Very beautiful.
But you know, the thing is, we've got to live, and I think it comes from the book of Sirach, but certainly the saints have repeated it down to the ages. You know, keep death before you, and you live a holy life. Again, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Have courage, be at peace, have conquered the world. We're in a major spiritual battle, and we got to get any kind of utopian ideology out of our head, as if we're going to create heaven on earth. We bring the kingdom of God into the world. It hasn't been fully realized. It will only be fully realized at the end of the time. But to the extent that, in all humility and in humbly and in humility, that we're disposed and receptive to the inner working of God's Spirit, we allow God, Jesus, to reproduce his life in us. Because the goal is that we can say with St. Paul, it's not I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. In this we confound the wise of the world, and we become then, as the Lord said, the leaven, the salt, the light in the darkness. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world. To save the world. The light came into the darkness, but people chose rather to stay in the dark. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. And so we're always going to be a thorn in the side of those who reject God, those who are indifferent, who have a hostility to God, those who are guilty of all kinds of idolatries. And we know that we're always working against our own idolatry, right? So anyway, that brings us to the end of the show, but you know, we really don't have much more to say, because we're really at the end. I'm just waiting for there you go.
There you go. See how?
So, people, stay the course, fight the good fight, push against the wind. The victory is ours. The gates of hell shall not prevail. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And
peace be with you. Ciao.
To say when the world makes no sense, do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell strong, but the inside is wrought. It's time to be stirred. Read the signs, no time to hide.